Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. It's the day after opening day. We have 26 teams play yesterday. Four did not. Two out of those four playing right now, talking Cincinnati and Washington. All in all, did you enjoy opening day?
I did. I was really locked into that San Francisco-Los Angeles game last night.
What game that was, huh?
Great game. Wasted effort for the Dodgers with Clayton Kershaw on the mound. Couldn't produce any runs and goes back to the World Series where they kind of struggled in that department and it kind of carried over to yesterday's game.
I don't want to make this a Dodger show. I know we talk a lot about the Dodgers, but in two games, the last two games, Game 7 of the World Series, opening day against the Giants, the Dodgers have left 19 runners stranded on base. Now, I don't think that's going to continue. I thought they got a decent bat out of Matt Kemp yesterday. There's some positives to build off of for the Dodgers. Are the Giants better than I initially thought? I mean, Joe Panik went yard yesterday. That's not going to happen. Outside of that, Hunter Pence was okay. But I mean, I look at this Giants team. They have nothing in the form of pitching. Nope. I think it's a 162 game season, right? I mean, I don't know.
Their starting rotation is just depleted right now.
It's not good.
Bullpen, I still question, but they got some bats in there. They can hang around. Maybe they're one of those teams that we overlook. Maybe they can hang around one of those wild card spots. I don't expect them to hang around the division up there towards the top, but a wild card spot, sure.
I'm going to say no. I don't think they get in. You mentioned it, though. The rotation is depleted. No Bumgarner, no Samardzija, no Melanson. He's out once again. Hunter Strickland came in last night. He was a setup guy. He got the save for the Giants. I'm with you. That game was highly, highly entertaining. If you like pitcher's duels, you would have liked that one. Elsewhere in the National League West yesterday, we had the Diamondbacks and the Rockies. And that's a game that I had a lot of interest in as well because I really don't know what direction either of these two teams are going. I don't mind Colorado. I love what they have in the bullpen. I question what they have as far as the starting rotation. I think they have some offensive weapons. On the flip side of that, Arizona didn't get any better this offseason. In fact, you can make the argument they got worse. I mean, they lose J.D. Martinez. They didn't replace his bat. Zach Greinke got a year older, but the Diamondbacks actually produced. They scored 8 runs last night, and they got a terrific outing from Corbin as well. So I thought the Diamondbacks actually delivered, I'm going to say, the most surprising performance of the night, in my opinion.
You talked about the Rockies and their bullpen. They're going to have to get more out of their starting pitcher, and it starts tonight with Tyler Anderson. And for Arizona, Robbie Ray is going to have to be a guy that's going to have to step up like Patrick Corbin did with Greinke, you know, a step older, a year older. So Arizona's still one of those sneaky good teams. I expect more out of Colorado.
Yeah, you mentioned it. I mean, the rotation, how do you get to the bullpen? That's the question. That's the question for the Rockies. If you get a quality start, I actually like their chances, but it's getting a quality start. I mean, you get past Anderson, you have Bettis. I mean, you got great. What direction do you go with this Rocky starting rotation? So I thought the NL West was very entertaining yesterday. And then the San Diego Padres, they couldn't get the job done against that new look Brewer squad, but it was a 12 inning game in which the Brew Crew picked up a 2-1 win. Let's take a look at the scoreboard and what we have in store tonight as far as Major League Baseball goes. Earlier today, the Tigers got an extra innings win over the Pirates 11-10. That's a high scoring affair, no question about it. In fact, this game came to an end in the bottom of the 10th. It was a single to left center field, a walk-off shot, basically, for the Detroit Tigers to get the win against Pittsburgh. Again, this was a game that was supposed to be played yesterday. It was postponed. They get it in this morning, and the Tigers get the win.
A high offensive scoring. If you like offense, you would love this game in Detroit 11-10. Pittsburgh, one of those teams that's going to be towards the bottom in the NL and probably Major League Baseball.
Let's take a look at the schedule today. 5 o'clock hour, we get the Yankees and the Blue Jays. The Yankees picked up a win yesterday. Giancarlo Stanton, he was pretty good. Not bad. Not a bad debut.
2 home runs, and Yankee fans are already clamoring for the victory parade, the World Series parade. But let's slow your roll. There's still 161 left.
161 games still to go. Look, the old saying, everyone wins 60, everyone loses 60. Let's see what happens on those in-between 42 games.
Yeah, the Yankees are going to be good, but let's calm down a little bit. It's one game.
I had someone tell me Giancarlo Stanton's going to break the home run record this year.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying, well, he's on pace for 332 home runs. Like, yeah. Well, yeah. Like, calm down. Overreaction is big after one day.
Well, look, baseball is unique in that sense. We get so excited for it. We don't have it all winter long. Then we get it back, and we have to watch spring training for a month, in which the games mean nothing. And then when opening day comes, it's so exciting that when something like Stanton knocking 2 dingers happens, you get excited and you jump the gun a little bit. Giant fans were jumping the gun after the win last night against the Dodgers. It happens. It happens. I'll give them a pass on it. Let's take a look at what else is happening in baseball once we get past that Yankee series. We get Boston at Tampa Bay. The Red Sox falling yesterday to the Rays. The Cubs will be back in action in the 5 o'clock hour to take on the Marlins. The Braves play host to the Phillies. That was a fun game.
Yeah, Nick Markakis. Good. The Braves are a good young team.
They are. They are.
Philadelphia, I don't know what they were doing in that game. Gabe Kapler, the manager, kind of overthought himself in that game a little bit.
Atlanta gets the win yesterday in a shootout. 6 o'clock hour, we get the World Series champs, the Houston Astros, taking on the Texas Rangers. It was the George Springer show yesterday, and now the Astros will have a chance to go 2-0. We get the Rockies at the Diamondbacks, and again, Arizona looking to make it 2 in a row. In the 8 o'clock hour, the Angels travel to take on the Athletics. We get the Giants and the Dodgers, and in the nightcap tonight, it's the Brewers and the Padres. Now, we'll talk NBA basketball because it is a monumental night for the Utah Jazz. I've been on the bandwagon for months that this team would actually get into the playoffs, and I still think they do. However, there is no margin of error in tonight's game. You have to win tonight's game against Memphis. This is a must-win for the Utah Jazz.
They will win tonight, and they will beat Memphis badly and soundly. They have to. If you lose this game tonight, you're not making the playoffs. With that Timberwolves game looming on the weekend, you have to win tonight, which I expect they will. I didn't expect them to lose to Atlanta or Boston, and they did. But
I thought maybe Boston, definitely not Atlanta.
Yeah, Memphis stinks.
No, they're not good. They're in full tank mode. I mean, they've been in full tank mode for quite some time. Memphis and Dallas. Full tank mode. So it's a huge game for the Jazz. David Locke, Ron Boot will bring you the live play-by-play call tonight, 7 p.m. start time of that game. The broadcast is going to begin at 6:50. We look ahead. Chicago will take on Orlando at 5 p.m. We get Philly at Atlanta, 5:30 start time there. New Orleans will take on Cleveland, 6 o'clock. That game is on ESPN tonight. We get Phoenix at Houston, Denver at Oklahoma City, and we get the Timberwolves on the road to take on the Mavericks. 7 o'clock tonight, again, Jazz and Memphis. That's the only game in the 7 o'clock hour. Then we get Milwaukee at the Lakers, an 8:30 start time there. And another big game, Jazz fans, pay attention, Clippers at Portland. Portland right now is fighting to secure the number 3 seed in the Western Conference. The Jazz could actually gain a full game on the Clippers tonight. Right now they're up by 1. A Jazz win and a Clippers loss tonight is very, very likely. Tonight is such a huge night for playoff seeding. It really is.
It'd be crazy with the margin of error between winning one game and losing one game can knock you completely out or revolt you into one of those top 5 spots. So yeah, Jazz have to take care of business, and hopefully Portland takes care of business for the Jazz against the Clippers.
We have plenty more coming up here on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We're going to break for just a moment. We'll give you the rundown on everything happening in the local sports front. We have plenty more straight ahead right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. Today on the high school baseball diamond, the Emory Spartans will look to get back on track following a shutout loss to the Carbon Dinos on Wednesday as they play host to the San Juan Broncos. Now, Emory is currently 2-3 in Region 15 play, and a victory today would put them at the 500 mark and also give them a series sweep over the San Juan Broncos. Start time again for today's contest is scheduled for 3:30 p.m. And also taking the field today will be the Emory Lady Spartans softball squad. They, too, will take on the San Juan Broncos at home beginning at 3:30 p.m. And yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we caught up with manager Sean Bell, and he talked about his team's performance so far this season as they currently sit 2-2 in league action.
We go down to South Sevier, and they they don't hit the ball very well, and they come here and we score 22 runs and hit 5 home runs. It's kind of amazing just what girls show up and which ones don't. We have 5 seniors that are doing me a really good job. We have some juniors that have stepped up really good.
Start time for today's softball contest, again, is set for 3:30 p.m. Now, we stick with the baseball and the softball diamond, but we move over to junior college. Now, the USU Eastern Lady Eagles will continue what has been a lengthy, lengthy road trip as they travel to Ephraim for 2 games today and also 2 games tomorrow. Now, the Lady Eagles at this point in time of the contest have picked up a couple of conference wins, but at the same time, they sit 6-10 in conference play. Most recently, they suffered a 4-game sweep at the hands of CSI. Today's contest is scheduled to begin at 1 p.m. The second will begin immediately after at 3, and again, this will take place in Ephraim. Tomorrow, the Lady Eagles will return to the field. They're set for a noon start time against Snow College, and the second game will follow immediately after at 2 p.m. Now, the men's baseball team has gotten off to a 9-7 start in conference play. They'll take a break from league action as they go toe-to-toe with the Utah State University Club Squad. That'll be today at home, beginning at 1 p.m. The second game will follow at 3:30 p.m. Then tomorrow, the team will be back in action again at home, taking on the Utah State Club Squad. That'll begin at noon. Second game will begin at 2:30 p.m. Don't miss out on an opportunity to watch some baseball live during what's going to be a beautiful weather weekend. Now, we stick with baseball, but we move over to Carbon High. And the Dinos had a couple of big matchups this week. For starters, they traveled on the road to meet 5A Provo on Monday, and they suffered a loss 8-0. The Dinos returned to the field on Tuesday by picking up a win over Salem Hills in extra innings 5-4, and they followed that up with a big win over Emory on Wednesday 16-0. Yesterday on KOL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by manager Jeff Cincinnatus, and he talked about the way the week went for his team.
It's our spring break week. The kids got out of school on Wednesday, and they're out until Monday. So it was a week where it was going to be pretty hard to schedule region games. So I did my best to get us 3 games at the beginning of the week against good competition. And, you know, I think minus the game on Monday, which I wasn't real happy with our effort, I think we got better for the week, and I think it'll help us out in the future.
Carbon is now into spring break, which means they'll take the remainder of the weekend off. Next week, it will be extremely busy for Carbon. They'll return to the field on Tuesday for a league matchup against Delta. Wednesday, they'll play a makeup game against Providence Hall, which is also a league contest. And then on Friday, they'll wrap up the season set with the Delta Rabbits. We'll have more on the Carbon Dino baseball team in the coming days. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. Listen, you must... say it again? Buscarini? All right. Jordan Buscarini. All right. With Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queens, Missouri, right now.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down!
Price, Utah.
Now!
Me and my man, Trav.
Yeah!
Love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Travis Anderson on KOAL AM 750. Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM. And 7:50 a.m. Jordan Buscarini alongside Travis Anderson. We're gearing up for the Final Four. We get the women's bracket tonight. And the women will play Friday, Sunday. The men play Saturday, Monday. I know you're not into the women's thing. I get that.
Yeah.
I am. Go Irish.
Go Irish. Go whoever else is in it.
Louisville, Mississippi State, Notre Dame, and UConn. You know what's pretty amazing about Notre Dame? I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on the women's bracket. I know we have to talk about the men, because there's a couple of really interesting matchups there. Muffet McGraw, the coach for Notre Dame, has got this team back to the Final Four. She's missing 3 starters. It's pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive, especially with the turnover in the girls' game to do that. And
she's lost 4 players over the course of the season.
And UConn, they just, Geno's made 11 straight Final Fours.
Geno's incredible.
Yeah, I like Geno.
That guy's absolutely insane, the way he just continues to reload and win and win and win some more. UConn is more than likely going to win the women's bracket. I'm rooting for Notre Dame tonight. Hardcore. Go Irish. Go Irish. Do the unthinkable. I have a little bit of skin in the game. I don't like to talk about my brackets, and I haven't talked about my bracket. I'm not doing too shabby on ESPN's Bracket Challenge on the women's side.
Yeah, you're up in the 100th percentile.
Yes, I am. The problem is I picked Notre Dame to beat UConn. I did that because you got to do something a little bit different.
Got to do something different to stand out. And
when you got 3 million brackets, you got to do something.
Yeah, you have to go wild, and you did, and hopefully it pays off for you.
Let's go Irish. Let's get it done. Let's take a look at the men's side of the bracket. Tomorrow, we get, first off, I want you to tamely explain to me your problem with Sister Jean. Loyola Chicago taking on Michigan. You went off on Sister Jean on Twitter today. Can I ask why?
Yeah, I'm tired of her. I'm tired of seeing her, hearing about her. I'm tired of her press conferences that she's getting. I'm just sick of hearing about it. It's overplayed. It was cute and fun there for like a week, 2 weeks. It's just, let's just move on. She has nothing to do with the game. I want to hear about Ben Richardson of Loyola Chicago more than Sister Jean.
I get where you're coming from to an extent, but she's a super fan. It's no different, and I'm going to ask you this. Do you get tired of looking at Ashley Judd during Kentucky games?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. You get tired of looking at Will Ferrell at USC games?
Yes, I'm tired of him on the sideline. I'm tired of that goofball behind the Jazz bench. I'm tired of that idiot in the jet stand with his fireman helmet. Just more on the players and that and Sister Jean. She'll be done tomorrow night, so...
I like the story. First off, it's Holy Week. I mean, it is the church's version of March Madness. So I totally understand how you can tie the two together. She has become the biggest star of the Final Four, and I guess that's the issue you have with it. Instead of talking about kids playing in it, Sister Jean has become the biggest star of the Final Four, and that's your problem?
Yeah, and I want more on Loyola Chicago, more about the players and the coaching and all that, and Sister Jean sitting up there blabbering about Charles Barkley or whatever she's blabbering about.
Well, we get Loyola, Chicago, and Michigan. I want to talk about this game. Michigan, obviously the odds-on favorite to get it done. They can score the basketball with the best of them. Both of these teams have really found luck and had to pull a couple of out to get to where they are at. I know you don't give Loyola a chance to win this game over Michigan.
No, I think Michigan's going to drub them tomorrow. I think the Cinderella dream comes to an end. I personally wanted Loyola Chicago to win, but then Sister Jean had a press conference, and I hope Michigan rolls them. I want her out of here.
I don't know what to say to that, man. I really don't. Yeah, Michigan will probably end their Cinderella run, but I have told you to be aware of Loyola Chicago throughout this tournament.
Good offensive team. They play team basketball. Yes. I like that aspect, but the press conference today ruined it. I want Michigan to drub them, so Sister Jean's gone.
Now, while the game between Villanova and Kansas, to me, that's the marquee matchup of the weekend. I know Michigan is a 3 seed, but at the same time, they're somewhat of an underdog to get there to begin with. Say they're a 3 seed. I get it, but they're going up against Loyola Chicago. It's a team that went 32-7, the number 3 seed out of the West region. They would become the first team ever to advance to the national championship game without playing a team seeded 5th or higher. And I bring that up because we talked about the easy route that Kentucky could have had. Michigan had that route. They have not played a team seeded worse than 4 was the highest they had to play in this tournament.
Yeah, Michigan, like you said, they played that Big Ten tournament a week before, got that rest, went to the tournament, and really had it easy going in the tournament. So yeah, they're going to advance, and they're probably going to play Villanova, but Kansas-Villanova is such a great matchup.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I do, and I don't think that we can discredit what Michigan has accomplished, because while they've had an easy path at the same time,
they got luck with that shot at the buzzer.
They had a little bit of luck, but if you go back to the Big Ten tournament, I mean, they had wins over Michigan State, Purdue, and they really haven't slowed down since. They picked up the momentum in that Big Ten tournament.
Sparked them.
It did. It did spark them. Now they come to San Antonio with a 13-game winning streak, and they've shown that they have the ability to win games without playing their stellar offensive brand of basketball. Now, I think that can get them past Loyola of Chicago. I don't think that will get them past Villanova or Kansas.
No, I don't either. I think the winner of that Kansas-Villanova game is going to win the national championship. That's who I think.
Are you surprised that Villanova and Kansas are the two teams remaining out of the right side of the bracket?
I thought Duke would be the team to get there to play Villanova. Not surprised about Villanova. That's who I picked to win it all, but kind of surprised about Kansas.
I think that this was a, to me again, and I've said this several times, on the east side of the bracket, I thought whoever got the win between Villanova and West Virginia would represent in the Final Four. And I said earlier on in the week, and I actually took a little criticism through some text messages by saying that the women's bracket is the way it should be. We have the four best teams in the country deciding a national champion. I don't believe we have the four best teams on the men's side of the bracket deciding the national champion. Someone told me, well, you're a buzzkill. You don't like anything that's not planned. Well, no, that's not the case. That's not true. I like the best teams deciding a national championship. Now, while Loyola of Chicago has been a fantastic story and Michigan has played great basketball as of late, nobody can convince me that those are two of the top four teams in the country. On the flip side of that, I believe we have two of the top four teams in the country with Villanova and Kansas.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think if you want to throw in the top four, Michigan State and Duke, they could be in the top four easily of the best teams. But yeah, I'm with you. I agree with you. I want the four best teams in there. We don't have the four best teams on the men's side. We really don't.
I don't think you do. And I think the other thing that is so fascinating about the Kansas and Villanova game, when you take a look at this on paper, front to back, what we have here, Villanova is the better team. Kansas is right, they're close by Villanova, and they mirror each other, if that makes sense.
No, I'm with you.
It's a tactical game, and that's what I like about it.
Yeah, I just think whoever comes out of the Kansas-Villanova game is going to win the national championship, and I think it's going to be Villanova. I just like Villanova's guard play more than I like Kansas, but Kansas is playing good right now. They're playing hot right now at the right moment.
Malik Newman, Devontae Graham, they can knock down the deep ball. Going to have to knock down the deep ball against Villanova. No question about that. I've talked about Brunson for Villanova. I think he's the smartest player in the country. He's a top 20 NBA pick because of his age. Teams, for some reason, franchises will stray away from him in the draft. But he's a top 20 guy, in my opinion. Smartest guard in the country. I like him a lot. I think it comes down to the long ball in this particular game. I think both games, it comes down to the long ball. Loyola of Chicago is going to have to find a way to outscore Michigan. And you say, well, of course, if they outscore him, they win the game. That's not what I'm saying. It's not going to be a gut-it-out, grind-it type game. Loyola of Chicago is going to have to score more points in this game against Michigan than they have scored all tournament long in order to get a win.
Yeah,
that's the way I view that game.
Loyola is going to have to be in the 70s to 80s to win this game, I think. They can't get into that 56 to 64 range to win the game. They're going to be high 70s, low 80s to win.
The guy for I'm going to jump back over to Kansas here for a moment because we were talking about how tactical this game is going to be. Devontae Graham has got to be the man for Kansas.
He has to.
That's how you get it done.
Yeah, and for Kansas, they're going to have to win this game by getting him the ball and making their foul shots. The free throw line is going to be critical in this game. Villanova is a very good free throw shooting team.
Ozabuki's back for Kansas as well. 7-foot sophomore. Big threat down low. Can't really shoot the foul shots, but when you have a 7-footer with his size in the paint, it definitely causes some problems. Kansas enters this game at 31-7. They're ranked RPI, I believe they have them 11th in the country, I believe is what the RPI is.
RPI have 11.
So, I mean, again, they mirror Villanova quite well, I think, all the way around. I like this matchup a lot. It is definitely the game to pay attention to over the weekend for a different reason. And this is why I can't agree with you on the Sister Jean talk. That's why you watch Loyola Chicago, Michigan. It's a cute story. Loyola Chicago was the lovable underdog that has gotten to the Final Four as the 11 seed. I don't think George Mason had a story like that when they went. That was a long time ago, but did they have a story like that?
No. What did they have? Jim Larrañaga as their coach maybe was the story?
Yeah. But I mean, I don't think they had the fan that...
They didn't have Sister Jean.
They didn't have Sister Jean. They did not have Sister Jean. Michigan's a team that's played great basketball, but they've gotten hot as of late, and so... You know, to me, that's a fun game. It's a fun story game. Villanova, Kansas is a grind. It's two of the best teams in the country going toe-to-toe.
Yeah, and Beeline getting Michigan back possibly to a national championship game again where they were there a few years ago and lost to Louisville. It's a good story for him to turn that program around.
Give me the predictions.
I'm going Michigan, and I'm going Villanova.
Michigan, Villanova in the national championship. Villanova's your winner?
Villanova's my winner.
Man.
Great guard play. They hit free throws. I just like Villanova. And for Jay Wright, I love Jay Wright.
I'm gonna go with Loyola.
Ugh.
I'm going to go with Loyola. How many times have I picked Loyola in this tournament?
You are 5 out of 5. I'm picking them. 4 out of 4, whatever it is.
I mean, I've rolled with them for a while. Hard to go against it now. Plus, Michigan, it's hard to say that they played above their heads over the last 13 games, but I'm just waiting for them to go back to that Michigan team that they were before they won 13 in a row. Does that make sense? And I don't know if it's a national championship game or if it's this game against Loyola, but there's something about this Rambler team that tells me they get to the national championship. And I think it would be a similar story to Butler. Remember when Butler went and they lost to Duke?
Yeah, they got back there, what, twice in a row?
And they never won, but the one year, I think they were a 10 seed when they went up against Duke, if I'm not mistaken. And Gordon Hayward missed the shot at the buzzer.
Gave Duke all they wanted.
I think Loyola can get to the national championship game, and regardless if it's Nova or Kansas, they're going to lose that game, and I think they're going to lose that game handily. But I think this story is just so big. It's such a fun story. The momentum, the emotion for Loyola, if they can control that in the early part of the game tomorrow, I think they can knock off Michigan. I'm going to say Nova and Loyola of Chicago. That's my national championship.
I hope Sister Jean enjoys her one-night stay in San Antonio because she's being shipped home tomorrow night.
I cannot believe how anti-Sister Jean you are.
I'm just tired of it. She has her own bobblehead, and it's annoying.
You know what? Okay.
I'm really annoyed by it.
Okay, but look, here's the cool thing about Sister Jean. We had Ed O'Bannon on the show a couple of weeks ago, and it was all about licensing, right? This guy was unhappy that EA Sports was making money off of his name, and the NCAA was making money off his name, and he wasn't getting a penny of it. She gave the school all of her rights to use her likeness to trademark her name. She's not getting anything for that. She's donating that to the school. It's a 98-year-old lady.
Yeah.
You don't think that's neat?
No. No, I don't.
Come on, man. We got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
With the sixth pick in the 2014 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State University.
Marcus Smart from the Boston Celtics, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Marcus Smart, what a spin move and a finish. Hard to handle Marcus Smart, whether he's outside or inside the paint.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. I'm not going to pay this a lot of mind, but you wanted to talk about it today, and it is Friday, so why not? Rob Gronkowski. Rumor is saying that the Patriots could, in fact, be looking to trade Rob Gronkowski. And now it's one of those off-season moves that gets a little bit of a twist, and one of the front runners to land Gronkowski would be the 49ers and the Los Angeles Rams. This broke earlier today. You know how many people I had drop me a text and say, do you see the Rams are interested in Gronkowski? Look, for starters, there are 29 other teams that are interested in Rob Gronkowski if, in fact, the Patriots are willing to trade him. The reason why I said I'm not going to pay this much mind is we're getting to a state with the Rams where we're at with the Lakers in the NBA. Every time there's a free agent, every time there's a potential trade target or a trade rumor,
you link them to the Lakers
or the Knicks, right? Because it's the two biggest markets in the NBA. And I'm seeing a trend in the NFL that's starting to go that route in football. Now, the Rams went out, they grabbed Marcus Peters. That came out of the blue. Nobody knew that trade was in the works. They go out, they get Talib. When Aqib Talib was rumored to potentially be going to the Patriots, the Rams land him. Then they get Ndamukong Suh. Now all of a sudden there's talk about the Rams potentially getting Odell Beckham and now Rob Gronkowski. No way.
Yeah, one of Bill Belichick's friends and insiders, so to say, has said that he kind of feels like he's ready to move on from Rob Gronkowski, and those teams are linked, and Bill Belichick thinks he can get a second-round pick or a third-round pick for Rob Gronkowski. So
sure,
you might as well explore all options because the Patriots are not going to give Gronkowski the contract he wants, and this is part of the reason why Rob Gronkowski's floated the idea out there he's going to retire. I don't think he's going to retire. I just think he wants the contract, he wants the money, so the Patriots don't want to pay him that money for a guy that's 29 or 28 years old, banged up with injuries, so they feel like they can move on.
Okay, and I'm fine with the idea of the Patriots trading the Gronk, okay, because I view that as something that could very seriously happen. But leagues are agent-driven.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Major League Baseball, if it's the NBA, if it's the NFL, these are agent-driven leagues, okay? The best way to drive up the price for your client is to link them to the largest market. And I think that's what's happening here with the Rams. I just do not see a scenario in which the Rams land Gronkowski. Now, let's talk about the idea of him going to San Francisco, because I like that, and I also believe that's more realistic. More realistic for a couple of reasons. For one, you have an offensive guru, and I know that Sean McVay is great in L.A. I'm not saying anything negative about Sean McVay, but Kyle Shanahan is an offensive guru. And really, what have they added outside of Jimmy Garoppolo in the offseason? What have they added offensively that makes you say, wow? Anything?
No, nothing. Okay. And if you add Rob Gronkowski, then
there
you have
it something. Is. Yeah. There's that wow factor. And so I'm waiting for San Francisco and John Lynch, who's the general manager of the 49ers, to do something that plays to what Kyle Shanahan can bring to the table in the form of a play caller. Plus, it's seamless considering that Jimmy Garoppolo knows Rob Gronkowski, practiced with Gronkowski, worked with Gronkowski for a very long time. That's seamless. I don't believe that you have to worry about a chemistry deal with him going to San Francisco. My problem with this is I'm starting to see the Rams pop up as a possible destination for every single player that hits a contract issue or is floated around in trade rumors. And that is agent-driven. And I think sometimes we overlook the fact that at the end of the day, it is a business. Okay, it is a business. Look at Richard Sherman. This guy's going to the San Francisco 49ers after everything that happened, 6 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
It's a business. Who drives that business? It's agents. Not the owners. It's the agents.
Yeah, it's the agents. And Gronk wants to get into acting and movies and stuff, and he's going to start a film with Mel Gibson. So, you know, that's why they're saying, oh, the Los Angeles Rams have interest because they're in Los Angeles. It's
every
Hollywood.
Team has interest.
Yeah, everybody wants Gronk, but maybe the Patriots.
Every team would have interest in Rob Gronkowski, not just the Los Angeles Rams.
It just depends
Rams.
On the deal.
But it's getting old. Odell Beckham, he's not going to the Rams. Telling you that's not happening. He may want to go to the Rams. His agent may want him to go to the Rams. He may want to go to the Rams for reasons outside of football to play in Los Angeles. But there's logistics that stand in the way of making that happen. And I think it's a fun team. They got a fun coach. They got a likable coach. They're in L.A. Right now, the lights are bright. Everybody wants to get there, but the agents are using Los Angeles as leverage. That's what's happening here. But realistically speaking, if we look to the Patriots without Gronkowski, we know they can win without him. We saw it. They won a Super Bowl without him. He didn't play.
Yeah, they proved that they can win without him. They won the AFC Championship without him.
It's a very interesting time for the Patriots, to say the least. But if you were the Patriots and you could land a second-round pick for Rob Gronkowski right now, would you make that trade?
Yes. Yes, I would. You?
Depends on the situation of the team. And I say that because you and I have had the conversation multiple times about who the greatest tight end in the history of the NFL is. I don't believe it's Rob Gronkowski. I would take Tony Gonzalez. To be honest with you, I like Antonio Gates. There's a few tight ends. I like Shannon Sharp. I mean, there's a few tight ends that I would put above Gronk, but I think it's debatable. And so if you have the opportunity to land a guy, and again, he proved he's going to stay healthy too. He proved that last year. He was healthy for the Patriots outside of leaving the AFC Championship with a concussion. He didn't really miss any time last season. And I think that was also a big concern for Gronkowski. Second round pick, if I'm who? Give me a scenario. Which team am I?
Say you're a team like Seattle.
No. Seattle's got too many other holes that they have to fill on that offensive line. If I'm Seattle, I'm not giving up a second-round pick for Gronkowski. Next.
Cleveland.
Yes. Absolutely.
The Rams.
Rams don't have a second-round pick this year.
So a third and a third next year?
Yes.
Giants.
No. Too many holes. You have to be a team, and when I say too many holes, do you get what I'm saying here? Like, the Browns have gone out, like, they've done stuff.
Jacksonville makes sense to me because Jacksonville. They lost a lot of offensive weapons and replaced them with kind of spare parts, so Jacksonville would be a team.
There's
that makes sense.
No way New England trades him to Jacksonville.
No way. They would send him to the NFC, and the only teams that make sense are the Rams and the 49ers, really.
But if you look at the Browns, and they're linked to Odell Beckham as well, they've been linked to possibly bringing in Beckham, but nobody has talked about that because it's Cleveland and it's the Browns, and there's no leverage there for agents. But I actually like that idea. If Cleveland could surrender a second-round pick to get Gronk, I'm all for it, because before Sashi Brown was fired in Cleveland, what he was able to accomplish is he accumulated a lot of draft picks. He bought draft picks. Remember, he bought a draft pick when he welcomed Brock Osweiler in. He bought that second-round draft pick. That's what he did.
Yeah, I'd rather have Gronk than Odell. Personally, if I'm Cleveland,
That's tough.
Spend on Odell or spend on Gronk? I'd rather spend on Gronk.
I would rather spend on Odell.
Yeah.
At this stage in his career, I would probably rather spend on Odell. I know you threw out the wins and losses for the Giants. I think it's more difficult to assess a win share for a wide receiver than it is a tight end. I think it is. It's tough to say because, again, Gronkowski, the Patriots won a Super Bowl without Gronkowski. The Giants have not been effective win and loss wise with Odell.
Yeah, he's never won a playoff game.
Never won a playoff game, but boy, Eli's statistics drop pretty heavily when Odell's not there, not on the field. It's not the case in New England. Different system. I think we're comparing apples to oranges. If I'm going to pay long term for one of these two guys, I want the guy that's on his rookie contract. That's the guy I'm going to pay for. So it would be Odell. But I don't think that's the question. I think the question is, which teams would give up a second-round pick for Odell? And I'll tell you, I look at the wide receiver group right now for Cleveland. Josh Gordon, Corey Coleman, Jarvis Landry. Man, you add a Gronkowski to that? I actually like it quite a bit. That's a pretty solid team because not only do you have Gronkowski, don't forget about David Njoku either.
Yeah, so it's just kind of finding the perfect fit. New England's never going to send him to anybody in the AFC, so I just have to look at those NFC teams.
San Francisco would be the odds-on favorite to land him. Plus, they have the money. They have assets as well. LA, again, it's a leverage play. And I'm telling you right now, I would be surprised if the Gronk is not wearing a Patriot uniform in the preseason.
I fully expect him to be there, but you never know with Belichick.
Plus, we live in a world where trade rumors run rampant thanks to social media, and I think it's just a straight-up leverage play. We've got to get out for another quick commercial break. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of the show when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Hey, it's Garrett Topp. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports. Final segment of this edition of the show. I want to talk Major League Baseball once again. Now, at the beginning of the show, we reported that the Detroit Tigers had beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 11-10 in extra innings. That turned out not to be the case. Kind of a crazy turn of events. And, well, Travis, go ahead. Explain to me what happened in this game.
So we thought we had the winning run that was scored in the 10th on a Jones single to left.
And it was a walk-off, basically,
yeah.
Right?
So they went back, the Tigers are celebrating, everybody's on the field. The Pirates are actually walking off the field, heading towards the dugout into the locker room. They went back, reviewed the play, figured out that the play at home plate, he was out. So they had to call everybody back on the field, clear it off. Tigers manager Ron Gardenhire actually got ejected because of the chaos. So now we head to the 13th inning, and the Pirates went up 13-10 on a Gregory Polanco home run.
So the Pirates are going to get the win on what the Tigers thought for sure.
That they already won.
That they had already won in a game that was supposed to take place yesterday.
And we're in the 13th inning. This game started 5 hours ago.
It's fantastic. That's baseball right there. As far as the replay goes, traditionalist baseball fans will look at this and they'll say, well, that's terrible. That's terrible for the game. What do you think? Did it serve its purpose?
Did they get the call right? Is all I care
right.
about.
They got the call right.
If they got it right, that's all I care about. I don't care about traditionalists or that other stuff. I care if they got the call right. They got it right, and Pittsburgh's going to win the game because they got the call right. So it's taking a win away from Pittsburgh.
It's only the first week of the Major League Baseball season, and we have this happening already.
Chaos already.
Two games into it.
It. Baseball's awesome.
I'm with you. It definitely is. You know what else is awesome? The NBA playoffs. And we're getting close to it. We're down to the final seven games. Travis, tonight we have the Jazz and the Grizzlies. And again, the Jazz are clinging to a one-game lead over the Clippers. And they would hold the tiebreaker over the Clippers as well if they, in fact, beat the Clippers when they play next week. So there's still a lot of basketball, a lot of uncertainty left. But I wanted to look at the schedules again for these teams on what they have remaining. So the Jazz get the Grizzlies tonight. And again, live coverage is going to begin at about 6:50. You agree with me, this should be a wash tonight. The Jazz should just dominate Memphis. This shouldn't even be a game tonight.
Yeah, Utah should win the game by 20.
Okay. If they get past Memphis, Sunday, they have Minnesota on the road. That's a tough game.
I don't expect them to win that game on the road.
They get the Lakers at home.
They should beat the Lakers.
They get the Clippers at home.
Should beat the Clippers.
They get the Lakers on the road.
That's a toss-up. They should win, though.
They get Golden State at home.
Depends on
they should they should win that game.
Golden State's not playing well at all.
They're not playing well. The Rockets are set at number one. The Warriors are set at number two.
Just rest.
They're going to get healthy. And then you have Portland, the last game of the year on the road. And I don't know where Portland is actually going to be sitting because, again, that's a team that legitimately has a chance to clinch the number three seed. I think they're going to end up number three. But it may mean something because they're only two games up on San Antonio. Hopefully, for the Jazz's sake, Portland, they've clinched the three spot and they have nothing to play for that night. And the Jazz could clinch a spot. Now, I'm not counting Denver out, but I'm going to take a look at the schedule remaining for the Clippers because, to me, that's the team that has the best chance of sneaking in, knocking the Jazz off as we get down to the final six or seven games. They have Portland tonight, monumental game, 10:30 start time. It's at Portland, 8:30 start time, 10:30 Eastern time. That's a monumental game for both teams, and I just don't see the Clippers going on the road and getting a win against Portland.
Portland's too good at home. They're not losing at home to the Clippers.
Then they get Indiana and San Antonio at home next week.
They can beat both those teams.
They won't win both games, though.
They'll split. They'll beat Indiana and probably lose to San Antonio.
Then they got
to
go on the road to Utah.
They're not winning that game.
Then they got to play at home against Denver.
They'll win that game.
And then they close out with the New Orleans and the Lakers at home.
I say they split.
They don't get in.
They're not in. It starts tonight with the Jazz. If the Jazz lose tonight, then who knows? But they're not going to. But the Jazz have to take care of business against Memphis.
You know, the Jazz have had a couple of bad losses that really could come back to haunt this team. First off, the loss to Atlanta was a terrible loss. I get the Celtics loss, okay? They should have won that game, but the fact is they didn't. They didn't win that game. They blew it late. I get it.
Yeah, they went three minutes without scoring a basket.
Right, and that's one of the games that you can kind of...
But the Celtics...
You can understand it. I can't understand a loss to the Hawks. That's the one that could come back to get them.
I don't understand how you lose to the Atlanta Hawks at home.
You know, going back to that Celtic game, stat lines were not bad. Jay Crowder had 16 off the bench. Donovan Mitchell had 22. Rubio had 14. Gobert had 10. He was 10 and 11. Rubio had a double-double. He had 10 assists, I believe, in that game as well. Favors had 8 points. Ingles had 11. Box score-wise, it looks as if the Jazz, it was right up their alley. You know, it was right. That one was in their wheelhouse. They did shoot 27% from downtown. And that was the problem.
Down the stretch, late turnover by Mitchell and a rush three-pointer really cost him.
Jazz Grizzlies tonight, monumental game. David Locke, Ron Boone will bring you the play-by-play call. And with that, we're just about out of time on this week of Drive Time Sports. Spring break this week for the Carbon Dinos. Spring break next week for the Emory Spartans as far as the local scene goes. Today, we have some baseball locally with USU Eastern. They're going to be back out on the field again tomorrow. The USU Eastern softball team is on the road this weekend as well, so there is plenty of that spring sports peeking up around this time of the year, even though a lot of people are traveling outside of the area. I appreciate you ending your week with us right here on Drive Time Sports. He is Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. We'll be back again to do it on Monday. Be safe. We are out.